My guest at this time is former Michigan Congressman Pete Hoekstra, who is also the former chairman of the House Select Intelligence Committee. He is now a candidate for the Republican nomination for the U.S. Senate in the state of Michigan. Should he win the nomination, he would take on two-term Democratic Senator Debbie Stabenow. And Michigan is a state where Republicans made substantial gains in the 2010 elections, both in terms of House seats as well as at the state government level. And Congressman, it's always good to have you with us.
Hey, great. Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Well, of course, as many of our listeners may remember, you ran for governor in 2010. And when Republican officials initially approached you about the Senate race, you weren't real excited, but something clearly changed. What happened?
Well, they approached me, or they approached Diane and I, my wife and I, early in 2010. And, you know, they said, if you're going to do this, you really need to start April 1. And Diane and I, we were exhausted. We'd run a very good governor's race. We'd come in second, but, you know, we just needed a break. And so we decided that we would pass on this. And then another, you know, 4 or 5 months passed, and the, you know, it became clear that we needed a very, very strong, incredible candidate to provide an alternative vision to what Debbie Stabenow and Barack Obama have been doing both domestically and internationally. We went back, we took a look at it. A lot of grassroots folks came to us and said, hey, Pete, Diane, you guys made the wrong decision. We need to end this race. You know, we like what you did in Congress. You've got your business experience. You can beat Debbie Stabenow. Please run. Diane and I decided to get into this race, and we're fully invested. We are, we're fully committed to this race. We can win this race.
You mentioned the Stabenow-Obama connection. When you look back at the 11 going on 12 years of Debbie Stabenow, what makes it clear in your mind that she absolutely does not deserve a third term?
It's not working. I mean, it's very simple. You know, it's nothing personal about Debbie, but the policies, especially that she and the president have championed during the last 3 years, that she championed while they were in the majority in the U.S. Senate for the last 5 years, the policies just are not working. You know, more dependency on Washington, more spending in Washington, believing that Washington can create jobs, trillion-dollar deficits, devastating foreign policy. You know, Debbie, it's just not working. It's time to move on, and we're going to provide the alternative vision, the alternative path to what Debbie has given this state. I mean, you know, the country for, what, 26 out of the last 28 months, our unemployment rate has been higher than 9%. In Michigan, we've been in double-digit unemployment for, most of the last 5 years, if not all of the last 5 years.
Michigan, of course, has been dealing with a difficult economy much longer than most of the rest of the country. You mentioned your business background, and I know folks here in Washington know you as the intelligence expert. What are you telling voters, and what can you tell our listeners about your business background that makes you believe that you've got a really strong vision for how to bring Michigan's economy back and the nation's economy back?
I've spent as much time in the private sector as what I did in government. I'm an executive from a Fortune 500 company. I used to be the vice president of marketing for Herman Miller. I've got an MBA from the University of Michigan. You know, I've had the opportunity and the experience to create jobs in the private sector, to work for a company that was one of America's most admired companies. That's the background. That's the training that I took to Washington. When I got to Washington and served in the House of Representatives, the way that I approached problems, the way that I was a problem solver, you know, that's really what attracted people like Newt Gingrich and others to give me some really critical assignments, investigating the Teamsters in 1997, getting a corrupt regime thrown out of the Teamster leadership. It was the kind of stuff that in 2004 led Speaker Denny Hastert to say, you know what, he doesn't have the most seniority on the committee, but we're going to make him chairman of the Intel Committee. Because this is a guy that can pull together Republicans and Democrats, get the intel community reformed. And so, you know, the experience that I have in the private sector, solid conservative credentials, I think provide a great alternative and a positive vision for America vis-a-vis Debbie Stabenow.
In terms of where the primary is shaking out, the primary day is always, I believe, the first Tuesday in August in Michigan. So there's a little bit of time between now and then. And one of the things I know that's an issue at this point is who's the conservative? You just talked about your strong conservative credentials. The endorsements you've lined up certainly cover the spectrum. A lot of conservative leaders, including the new governor, Rick Snyder of Michigan, who's hardly an insider. There are those, though, who are running against you, saying that you're more of the establishment candidate, given that you spent about 20 years in Washington. What do you say?
Well, it's clear you've got to differentiate between who the good guys and who the bad guys are in Washington, D.C. I fought the establishment the whole time that I was there. You know, people like John Kasich. I served on the budget committee when John Kasich was chairman of the budget committee, and we balanced the budget committee, to balance the federal budget in the late 1990s. John Kasich has endorsed me. In 2004, we remember the now Senator Pat Toomey, but he was a House member, and he ran against an entrenched Republican senator in Pennsylvania named Arlen Specter. I was with Pat Toomey. I was actually with Pat the night he lost. Pat knows that having Hoekstra in the foxhole is exactly the right thing to do. We took on the establishment. I fought Washington as often as I agreed with Washington. When I thought Washington was wrong, I fought him, and we beat him, and I've been successful. So, you know, you've got to differentiate. Who are the good guys? Who are the people fighting the good fight, even when Republican presidents were doing the wrong things? When George Bush proposed No Child Left Behind, there were a few brave souls that fought that initiative against, you know, quote unquote, their president. I led that fight. I voted against No Child Left Behind. I voted against permanent normal trade relations with China. You know, I've been fighting the good fight, and that's why, you know, I'll go into the Senate knowing the issues, having the record, and being the guy with the conservative credentials who knows how to get things done in that environment.
Talk a little bit more about your economic vision. We talked a lot about your background and success you've seen in the private sector. In terms of fostering conditions for job creation, not suggesting that government creates jobs, certainly, but fostering conditions for job creation in the private sector. We just heard from the Speaker of the House yesterday about less regulations, a lower taxes, more permanent tax structure, tax reform sort of thing. What's your sense on some of the key bullet points that we need for really getting this economic engine running again?
If the president had announced three or four things the Thursday night that he gave that speech, we could have had the market go up 500 points instead of down 300 the next day. What could he have done? We're going to do regulatory reform. If he'd said that and then laid out some examples, I think the best example is No Child Left Behind. It has burdened our schools not only with rules and regulations, but with phenomenal costs. Get rid of No Child Left Behind. Put education back into the control of our local schools and our parents and our communities. Saves a tremendous amount of money, but it solves the problem because it puts education control where it belongs with parents. So have regulatory reform. Build the pipeline from the tar sands in Canada down to Houston. Get us off of Middle Eastern oil and get us a safe supply from Canada. Building that pipeline creates 112,000 to 120,000 jobs, EPA standing in the way. The second thing that we can do is we need to explore for all energy supplies here in the United States. The government shouldn't pick winners and losers. We've seen what happens when the government says we're going to build solar panels. You know, the taxpayer is now holding and footing the bill for $500 million. Develop our oil, gas, coal resources, and develop green energy when it becomes economically feasible. That will create thousands, if not tens of thousands, of jobs in the U.S. And the third thing is, you know, Mr. President, why don't you just say we're going to hold off on implementing Obamacare, we're going to repeal Obamacare because there's just so much uncertainty. Those kinds of directions, those kinds of specific policies would cost the taxpayers $0. They would eliminate a lot of uncertainty in the marketplace. Our business community would take those as positive indicators, and they would begin investing again in America. It's get our fiscal house in order, get our regulatory house in order, and unleash the potential of American business, and we will be amazed with how fast this economy could come back.
Congressman, just one more question before we let you go. You mentioned during your time in the House that you led an effort to root out corruption from the Teamsters. The current leadership of the Teamsters has essentially suggested that his troops are ready to march, in his words, for President Obama, and I would imagine the Democratic ticket at large. Michigan, obviously, given its industrial base is a big union area. How nasty do you expect this fight to be?
Well, I think really if we lay out a positive vision for putting people back to work in a state like Michigan, Jim Hoff is going to find out that he's out of touch with his rank and file. On any given day, 40 to 50% of the Teamsters in Michigan are very open to conservative and Republican candidates. And so we're going to appeal to them with a pro-growth, pro-jobs agenda and a pro-private sector agenda. Union jobs in Michigan, they're hurting. All jobs in Michigan are hurting. If we put together a pro-growth agenda, we will compete not for the, you know, the leadership of the Teamsters or the UAW to support us. They won't do that, but their membership will. We got to make a clear distinction that there's a difference between the leadership and the rank and file. Rank and file, a lot of rank and file union members embrace our agenda, lower taxes, more opportunity, pro-life, pro-Second Amendment agenda, pro-states' rights. We can compete for those votes each and every day, and we will.
Congressman, we'll certainly be following it all the way. We look forward to checking back in with you from time to time as the campaign continues.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Former Republican Congressman Pete Hoekstra from the great state of Michigan. He represented Michigan's 2nd Congressional District for many years. In 2010, he was a candidate for the Republican nomination for governor, and now he's running for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate. Should he win the nomination, he'll face off with Democratic Senator Debbie Stabenow. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.